This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Jimmy from Boston. That's right, JFB, back up front where he belongs. They're calling it the biggest return since Fat Elvis. But don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. Now, you're all about to hear of an encounter that Biscuit had with two megastars. Two people personally who I refuse to even comment on. Stay tuned and listen up because you're in for some laughs. Now say it with me, motherfuckers! Later.
My God, I used to fucking crank this in my dad's Plymouth Company car! You know who this is, Sebastian?
No clue.
Oh, stick man!
Oh, yeah.
Stevie Winwood had great hair, too, man.
Terrific guy. Great head of hair.
What's up? Pete and Sebastian Show, we're back, baby! Sebastian Maniscalco on the other end. Lou behind the glass. What's going on, man?
Preschool. Preschool
All right.
started this week, and, God, bro. I gotta
what
do
you got
here.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to have to get into it.
I had some school incidents, too, so this will be nice.
The way Lana presents Serafina is everything's done right. The hair, the clothes, the book bag. I'm sorry, bro, but my daughter dresses like she's going to her first day at a corporate 500 company.
love it. I mean, dude, my kid looks tight, too. My kid looks so perfect for school that if another kid got kidnapped, but not my, I'd be offended.
Oh man!
I love it though. You got what is it? What is your little girl got? What kind of book bag? What do we got on there? Is it cartoon or is it just pretty?
Milkshakes.
Oh, I like it.
Then with the name on it, you know, she got her name on the book bag. She had a little patch made on, sewn on.
Kids with coin got everything their whole childhood has their name on it. Their fucking sled, their bike, every piece of...
You're right. You know, my father-in-law, I think, has his initials on his cuffs. You ever seen that look?
Yes. Oh, my dad does that too. FJC, right on the cuff in case you forgot. What is that even about? I got a flask that has PJC. I don't use it because it has my initials.
I know, bro. I don't like the whole initial thing.
I gotta tell you.
And I don't know if this is just something to do, but on my luggage, I got it monogrammed SM.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Where are you on that? The only reason I got it is because when it comes off the luggage carousel, I don't like putting like a big hand hanging off the fucking luggage. You ever seen that? Where
people
got to really designate it with a big orange belt.
Oh, yeah, the bow, the belt, everything. I hear you, but... On the flip side, when I hear you monogram your luggage, it has me thinking you're carrying your own bags? Like, you know what I'm... Yeah. I mean...
If I got a driver waiting for me, I tell the driver, hold on, let me get my bag. I'm not one of these guys that points to my bag to have the driver get. You ever seen that dickhead?
Oh yeah. I don't even let him carry it when I walk with him to the car. I'm like, guy, why are you even here? You could have just texted me. I would have rolled out to where you were. This is just wasted time. What do we? And now we got a fucking chit chat about my flight and shit.
Oh, that is a long walk from the carousel to the car in the parking lot with a driver you don't know. Oh yeah. And if you're going out to the parking lot and there's a street you got to cross where there's a light, how painful is waiting at a stoplight with a stranger?
It is an eternity, man.
What are we making, small talk now?
So I got a question which came up the other night as Lana and I were having a glass of wine outside. She believes that IQ is predetermined. She believes that if you didn't go to school, your IQ would be the same as if you did go to school. What's your take?
I believe she is correct. I think when they measure your IQ, what they'd be able to say is, you know, oh, hey, if you didn't go to school, well, if you had, you would have done pretty well. You got a pretty high IQ, but your IQ doesn't go up, unfortunately, when you go to college, if that's what you were hoping.
So you're telling me that you are born with an IQ?
Well, when you, listen, guy, don't make me get crazy. I'm not an MD here, but I think when your brain is finally fully developed,
yeah,
as it's an adult brain, then yeah, wherever that lands, yeah, that's your IQ. Why?
An education has nothing to do with your IQ.
It's what I said. That's what I thought. I mean, can we get Google?
That's what Lana thinks. I believe if you took a kid and put him in a school and he went to school and graduated college, that kid's IQ would be higher than a kid who never attended school whatsoever. No?
I mean, come on. Think about what you learned in college. How to do laundry and put a condom on in the dark.
I know, but I'm just saying, don't you think you learn, you know, certain things in the educational system that would help you take a test, like an IQ test?
No, I don't think you'd be taking an IQ test and you come across a question where you'd go, I remember this one from college class. Not a chance.
No, but you would recognize the reasoning on how you would get the answer. Once you recognize, like, the deductive reasoning or analytical approach to a problem? No?
Googling it, and it says it's a trait. Intelligence is a trait, and it's more than one gene. And 50% to 80% is genetic in origin, meaning intelligence is genetic. It's hereditary that you can be intelligent. That's what it says.
Yeah. Yeah.
So out of all three of us,
yes,
who would have the highest IQ?
Oh, me. Yeah.
You just said Geisha.
What? Yeah, but I say...
Pete made me delete this clip.
We got a woman outside yesterday that was holding an umbrella, right? Because it was sunny out.
Sunny out? Oh, my God. I can't take this school. What? Geishas do that, dude. They do that for geishas. Who gets... What?
You're never going to learn, are you?
Who gets sun protection with an umbrella? P. Diddy and geishas.
Yeah, boy.
And John Gotti.
And John Gotti. Nice, yeah. But you know what? You know, a lot of times I mispronounce words, but first of all, points for going for it, this bravery. And second of all, maybe I'm mispronouncing it, but I know what I have the knowledge to know that a geisha is somebody that's a Japanese woman that's, like, you know, protected, but treated like royalty. Yeah, come on, guy. What do you want me to do? So, well, who do you guys think is?
I mean, listen, I'm a BC student.
Yeah.
And I don't think I got 180 IQ, which I think is the... Lou, what's the highest you could get on an IQ test? Is it 220?
That seems too high. Let me check.
But we don't even know the score of the IQ test.
Yeah, by the way, I'm only kidding. I mean, I'm...
No, you're not.
I'm in that... Well, I might win out of the three of us, but I'm not going to have a high score either. I'm just saying, you know? It's like...
160 to 175 is extraordinary genius. 145 to 159 is genius level. 130 to 144 is gifted. And 115 to 129 is above average. Anything below that, you're in trouble.
Okay, so you don't think that translates to getting good grades in school?
Well, if you have a high IQ, then you're more likely to do better in school. But just because
school doesn't help it.
Yeah, but if you went to school, like if you took an IQ test before you went to college and then took one right after you went to college,
yeah.
you think you'd have a better score if you took it when you got out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't happen that way.
There's a free commercial for the University of Illinois, right? No, I can't. I'd love to say that for lovely Fredonia State, but no, I don't think they put me in a position to ace the IQ test when I got out of there. Bro, Lou, can we get a couple examples of IQ test questions?
Yeah, Lou.
Yeah.
Lou might have the highest IQ, honestly.
Hey, I wouldn't put it past them, but some of the questions I looked up were like, this is a question I can't stand, and I've seen it multiple times. It's a pattern question. So it's like, they have a circle and then like two dots. And then the next one is three dots, but in a different spot. Like, what's the next in the cycle? Do you ever get that question?
Yeah.
Oh, forget it. That's where I start looking around the room at Scantrons to see if I could pick off the answer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. God, nothing worse than when you plant yourself next to one of those real honest Asian girls that sees you try to look and then she blocks her shoulder. I'm like, yeah, you could have told me that before I sat here.
I used to have that done a lot to me where I would be sitting behind someone. And you used to peek right underneath the armpit. You ever get that look?
Oh, good spot, yeah. And you're just looking. You can, if it's multiple choice, you can just tell by the pencil and the area. If it's all the way left, oh, they went with the A. They went with A, right?
I have some sample IQ questions if you guys want to challenge each other.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Find the answer that best completes the analogy. Book is to reading as fork is to A, drawing, B, writing, C, stirring, D, eating.
Oh, my God, Lou. What is this? A community college fucking enrollment class?
All right.
Give me the question again. This could be a trick question. Hold on. This is where I fuck up. Go ahead. Give me the question again.
Book is to reading as fork is to A, drawing, B, writing, C, stirring, D, eating.
Okay. D.
Okay, that was too easy. Find two words from each group that are the closest in meaning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, group A. This is too much for you guys. You're going to have to write this down.
The test alone stinks.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of the IQ is having the ability to concentrate.
Like, already I want to stop. Like, I think I started taking an IQ test once, and I stopped after the third question. Like, I ain't doing this.
Yeah, I never even tried. I mean, I honestly, like, I don't want to... I'm smart enough, you know? I don't want to be too smart. That'll just make me more angry at all the people around me that I already think are dumb, you know?
Well, wouldn't you like to walk around and go, I got 165 IQ?
Not really. I don't know. Who cares?
I don't know.
You think? Sometimes it's someone who's like, you wouldn't even think is smart, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it would be a conversation piece that, you know, a couple guys would be talking. You're like, hear about Pete? No, what happened? What happened? All right. He's a genius. What? He's a genius. Wow.
That would be pretty cool, man. I'm not going to lie to you. People thought I was a genius. I mean, did you ever see that great movie with Travolta where he gets basically struck by lightning? And he goes from being like a, I think he was like a car mechanic.
Yeah, yeah. Phenomenal, is that what it was?
Phenomenon, a phenomenal, something like that. Yeah, I mean, like he, like one guy calls up and goes, remember that great scene where the professor came to visit him? because he couldn't believe that this guy had the mathematical equation. And they go, oh, no, man, he's a genius. And the professor standing next to Travolta, before they could talk, a guy goes, hey, so-and-so's son is lost in the grape fields, and we can't find him. We need someone who can speak Portuguese. And the guy turns to Travolta and goes, you can speak Portuguese? And they go, no, not yet, but here's a book. He reads a book on how to read Portuguese in a 20-minute car ride. They get out of the car, and he's belting out Portuguese, walking through the olive field looking for the kid. Oh, now that's what I want. You know what I'm saying?
Van de Pressa, Shadow Albert. De Pressa.
He said that they ate something bad, and he thinks the boy is sick. Tito drove the truck while I read the book.
George Malley, you learned the Portuguese language in 20 minutes?
Not all of it.
Oh, God, that would be nice.
Man, God, right before the show. Sorry, guys, I was just learning French.
Just repeat after me. Je m'appelle Claude.
Je découpe plow.
Now, would you rather have people say about you, oh, he was a genius, or he was like a Clooney, just the coolest, classiest cat I ever came across in my life. Or he was a genius, man.
If I had the choice to be Einstein or George Clooney, I'd go Clooney all day long.
Oh, me too. It just seems way more fun. Right? Einstein's thinking so much, he didn't even have time to comb his fucking hair.
But I think he played like Einstein, that whole look. Do you think that was manufactured? Did he look in the mirror one day and he had just normal hair and no mustache and goes, you know what? I don't even look like a genius. Let me grow it out. Let me play the part.
I don't know. I mean, if you just think about the concentration it takes to... I almost said the light. That was Edison. What did Einstein come up with?
Theory of relativity.
Oh, God. Well, all right, listen, maybe I wouldn't come in first in the old IQ test after all. Theory of relativity, what do you mean? What? Yeah.
Listen, the only photos I've ever seen of Einstein is him with a mustache with the hair all over the place. Is there any photos of Einstein without the hair?
That's a good question. In his younger day, was he kempt?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I don't know. I'm online right now looking. I'm very hard-pressed to find an Einstein photo of him in short hair.
That's a good publicist right there. That's because I see that, and I did fall for that, because I think when I see that, I'm like, this guy is just, it's like you ever have an all-night study session, and you know, in the morning, your hair's a mess, you're bloodshot. That's his whole life, man. He's like, I'm fucking thinking about shit like crazy. I don't got time. And Clooney's got nothing upstairs. Oh, that's why he's groomed like a champion. He's got nothing but time. He ain't solid nothing.
You're right. Seinfeld looks like... did I say Seinfeld?
Yeah, you did.
Einstein literally looks like he just crammed 3 nights for a philosophy exam.
Yeah, like if you walked in to take a test, and tell me that's not the guy you're going to try and look under his armpit. But that's also the guy I think that might blow us away, right? I mean, you know, he's the guy. You just don't know. He was the brilliant, though, right? His IQ was insane, right?
Einstein's was 160.
Yeah, to speak to your point about cheating off a test, was there ever a point where you were cheating off someone and you just knew that person was going to get 100% and had to put a break on the cheating because you're like, there's no way they're going to think I scored 98. Let me knock my shit down to about an 81.
I did something like that, but I didn't knock it back, and I got us both in trouble, man. I thought I talked about that, but
it feels familiar, but give me the story again.
My freshman roommate, long story short, he played hoops with me, a guy from Pennsylvania, nice guy, but real honest, basic dude, like, and I didn't study, and he was real cool, and he let me cheat off his paper, but like big time, like every, I was writing, he was showing me his answers, and instead of changing it all, I was writing word for word. So about 2 days later, I come back to our dorm room, and on my bed is my test paper and his test paper, and they both have a 100 score on them, and it's both crossed out, and it says zero. And then there's a note on them from the professor that says, see me in my office, and it has a time. And then below that is a note from my roommate going, take care of this, Pete. This had nothing to do with me.
Oh, what the
shit. God, this is, this is the kind of shit I learned in college. How to, you know, clean up a massive fuck up. I went into the professor and I was like, I go, first of all, he didn't do anything. I go, I don't know this stuff. Okay. And I kind of put it on him. I go, you're going real fast and I'm not really catching it all. So as you know, a lot of your old tests are out and about, so you can kind of get a feel for what questions might come. And we did a lot of studying, and me and Bill just prepared me. If he asks this, write this. If he says this, write. And so I go, it came out the same because I would just memorize what to write. Fucking, which is impossible.
Oh, yeah. What are you, a genius?
Well, but there was also, you know, multiple choice and stuff. Yeah, right? Like, if I could memorize everything this guy told me, why wouldn't I just learn this shit? Right? Not to mention, do you think my accent's thick now? I just graduated high school. I'm like, I did it. Oh, God. Couldn't even understand me. So he goes, well, I want you to learn this stuff. I don't just want you to memorize it. And I'm like, I do too. And he's like, all right, well, I'll let it slide this one time, but why don't you come in and let me teach you a little on the slide? Go, anything, whatever you think it'll take, I will, because I mean, I can memorize it, but I still don't understand it. So got out of it. I mean, he was like the kind of professor that didn't want a problem anyway. He could have been a dick about it. He was real cool.
Wow.
You're my best friend.
For as much as it has pleased Almighty God in his wise providence to take out of this world the soul of our deceased brother, we therefore commit his body to the ground. Ashes to ashes, and dust to dust.
Bring it on down! Saddle up!
Rest in peace, Mr. Eddie Money. You'll be missed.
I got, am I on? Oh, wait, am I on? I got two tickets to, fuck this shit, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money.
I would beat up three cops to put me in solitary rather than go back to that fucking Disney World. There is nothing worse than Disney World. They're all gay and they don't have mustaches because it's not allowed, because, you know. But don't think for a second that those motherfuckers wouldn't suck your cock. I have really nothing. I have a gay cousin. I have nothing against gay people at all. The thing is when you got gay people running around and they're not allowed to wear mustaches, you don't really know where you stand. You don't know who is and who's not, and so you're very paranoid, you know.
Brewers Unleashed right here, motherfucker, hang out, you cocksucking motherfucking scumbags.
All right, guys, let me ask you something. How much time do you spend staring at your computer screen every day? I'll tell you, the average person spends 7 hours in front of the computer every day, not to mention when they get home. I mean, I do it myself. That's why I started wearing Movement Everscroll blue light filtering glasses. I'm telling you, they sent these puppies to me. You got to try these out. Filtering out blue light promotes sound sleep and elevates your mood and can lower your stress and improve focus and clarity. When I'm writing on the computer, sometimes I get tired and I literally nap like a child. I put my head down and cross my hands. I started wearing these glasses they sent me, man. I don't know. I tend to be able to look at the screen longer. And they're kind of cool, man. These Movement glasses, they look cool. I look like I'm smarter than I am. pick from an array of styles. Round frames, clear frames, tortoise. I am telling you, man. Movements, Everscroll blue light filtering glasses. You guys got to check these things out. And you can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns if for some crazy reason you don't like them by going to mvmt.com/Pete. All right? Shop M as in Michael, V as in Victory, M as in Michael, T as in Tom. Everscroll blue light filtering glasses. Protect your eyes and look great doing it. Go to mvmt.com/Pete. Join the movement.
That story doesn't sound familiar, but it does ring a bell with a story that I had out of college. And correct me if I'm wrong, if I've said this on the cast before, but did I ever tell you about the Gump?
I'm not sure I remember.
Does that sound familiar, Lou?
No, it doesn't.
Lou?
No.
So we had a guy off campus that I found out through one of my fraternity brothers at the time. He's like, we were talking about a paper. It was a history paper. And I go, oh, man, I didn't even start this, and it's due in 3 days. And my buddy was like, why don't you go to the Gump? I go, what the hell's a Gump? He goes, a guy off campus, he lives in apartment 4D in the Crest Hill Apartments. Go knock on his door and tell him what you need. So, all right. So me and another friend who had the same test or the same paper due go over there. And a guy answers the door. It's about 350 pounds. Wrapped in a bed sheet. So he's naked in a bed sheet. I know he's naked because as he turns around, his leg is exposed and I don't see any underwear. And his tits are hanging out, right? Wow. I go in and he goes, what do you need? And I said, my friend Tim sent me... He said that you could help me out with a history paper. He goes, well, what's the subject on? I said, oh, Civil War or whatever it was. He goes, all right, it's $7 a page, 10 with bibliography.
Bibliography?
I go, what does the bibliography give you? He goes, oh, I could, like, cite the source within the text. I said, well, I go, give me $10. He goes, how long does the page, how many pages? I said, well, if it's got to be a 10-pager. He goes, that's going to be $100. He's like, come back in 48 hours. I go back. There's a line outside this guy's apartment. I'd say about 8-9 guys deep, just waiting outside. Door opens. About 5 minutes later, guy comes out with a paper. And he leaves. Another guy goes in. I go in there. This guy has got about 40 papers on a clothesline across his apartment.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
And he's got a post-it note on each clothes hanger. And he comes and goes, what's your name? I said, he goes, name and paper. I go, Sebastian Civil War.
Holy shit.
Holy fuck. So I go, and you got to give him a deposit. You gave him half, and then you gave him the other half when you got there. And you pay the guy off, and then you get the paper. Now, I take the paper home, and I'm reading it, and I go, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I bet.
I hand it in 100%, and I get excellent paper. You know, like, they used to lay, like, 100, and, like, they give you, like, a note, like, excellent paper, great sources, da-da-da. I go, this could be detrimental. So that's where I'm like, man, I could have this guy maybe write some papers, but then maybe I could insert some of my own knowledge within the paper to dumb this shit.
Yeah, but
and the way I can hate, you know, to be consistent like that is difficult to do without the teacher and kind of going, "What are you doing here, guy?" Like, no, like you think you talk like a longshoreman? Look what I was stuck. I still can't put words together. Let alone me, 18 years old. Yeah, no, this is great, man.
Yeah, but if you put in some of your own manner, your own thoughts in there, there's a chance you're just, you know, what do they say, putting a spotlight on it. She'll be like reading, going, why is he like brilliant? And then he gets Stallone-esque for a sentence or two. And then he goes back to brilliant again.
Oh, God.
It's no time to cuss me, snarled the robber. By God, fellas, grab your rifles and take color and cover. How's that sound?
Good.
Yeah? Mm. No, being a good reader is going to help me get a good office job, you know? Yeah,
so did you, man, go back to the Gump?
Yeah, I went to the Gump for a variety of different reasons. I think I went 3 times, but for 3 different classes where I was up against the gun and I just knew that my paper, if I wrote it, wasn't going to be as good as the Gump. So I and the Gump was so good that even the smart kids were going to the Gump.
God damn it, Gump! You're a goddamn genius. You must have a goddamn IQ of 160. You are goddamn gifted, Private Gump.
Like, guys that were getting A's already went, and you know, this guy's unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's something you learn in life, subcontracting. Let's start it now. Speaking of school, Lou, you got that thing you sent me?
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. I'm getting over a virus from the basement last week. Do you have that thing you sent me about Sebastian?
Yeah, sure.
Can you read that? Sebastian, did you see this thing? You're in.
Yeah, I just pulled it up prior to the cast.
The curriculum at McMaster. Do I got that right?
Yep.
In Hamilton, Ontario, you made the... And before we even get started with the... You know who went here? I looked it up. A famous alumni? Martin Short.
Oh, wow. This,
and also Eugene Levy. So this is a fine institution in Canada. And I don't care. One of you guys, I don't have it in front of me. Lou, can you read? This is a part of the homework the students were given in... What's the class, Lou?
First-year Italian. And one of her assignments is to watch a segment of Sebastian's stand-up about the, what is it called, the Malachi?
The Malocchio.
That's it. It's now part of the university curriculum.
Okay, so based on the fact that they're taking stuff that I did about this Malocchio and they're putting it in the curriculum, you notice this isn't Harvard or Princeton or Yale doing this, okay? So... The school is in question.
Yeah, no, the way you'll make it into the Harvard curriculum, if they want to say, listen, you don't have to speak perfect English to become rich and successful. Here are a few examples. Well, I mean, come on. Who does have perfect diction? Who does? Like, who would you guys consider that we hear speak that you're like, that guy or woman speaks perfect, perfect English as far as, like, what is supposed to be proper anyway? Right?
I mean, you're around people that have a full grasp of the English language and use vocabulary that a lot of other people don't use. I've been around those people. They speak eloquent. There's no ums. There's no there's no tripping over their words. They almost know where they're going to go before they're going there. You know, like a lot of times I'm sitting there like bumbling, trying to find a word, maybe hesitating, you know, here, just like that. You don't find that in intelligent people. What they do is they string sentences together so fluidly and so and peppered with such great vocabulary where you're like, oh wow, I never heard that word, but I just know what it means based on the sentence structure that they used it.
Yeah, no, I know, and I just did it right there too. Sometimes I'll pause. I have that pause like I'm new to the country and I don't know what word I'm supposed to use in this moment. You ever do it? I almost wait for me to go do a how you say. That's why I do a lot of these, bro. I go, fuck yeah. Because I'm thinking about what to say. Oh, but I look cool. Yeah.
I look cool. Did you hear that, honey? He said fucking, and it was so cool.
Well, instead of, like if I want to say something like I went to the store and I can't remember, I go, I went to the store. That's dumb. But if I go, I went to the fucking store today. So much fucking cool. But the whole time I'm saying fucking, I'm thinking, where did I go? Where did I go? Oh, yeah, the store.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down and says his school is great, I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Hey, hey, take it away. Get
so
that fight.
Your school.
If we're being used as specimens in an English class to decipher what we mean in English, we're in trouble.
I think it's like they're saying, listen, we teach you how to speak grammatically correct.
Yeah, and these two guys don't speak the way you're supposed to.
No, this is how you're taught to speak. Now listen to these two guys. If you want to fucking survive.
Oh, God. So we're being used as an example of an alternative way to speak to get your point across in street language.
I got to get the details.
Get the details. I want to know how we're being perceived here.
I will. That's a good point. I don't want them imitating us and the whole class laughs. And then they go, let's get back to smart.
Okay, class, to start this off, we're going to start it off with the Being Dumb by Pete and Sebastian.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
I have to, because I'm going to forget this, I just want to point out what a nice touch from a couple of listeners of the cast. They came to my show Friday night, Jen and Dina, I think it's Dina or Dana, it's hard to read here on the card. Anyway, I did a bit Friday night about, I said where I was, what hotel I'm at. Steelers were there too, by the way. And I said, I ended up eating at the food court. There was nothing to walk around to get food. So I go downstairs Saturday morning really early. I get a cup of coffee. I come back up to my room. I don't know how you feel about this, dude. My do not disturb sign is off the handle and on the floor. I go inside, full breakfast, coffee, eggs, bacon, muffin, right? So right away, I call down to the front desk, and I'm like, your guy brought me up breakfast. This isn't mine. I just want to let you know he brought it to the wrong room. And she's like, no, there should be a card there. Did you check by the thing? So I look over. It's a card. Pete, had a wonderful time at your show. Enjoy Providence and have a great show again tonight. Jen and Dana. They bought me breakfast, guy. They called the hotel and bought me breakfast. How classy. Classy.
Did you wheel it out of there?
Wheel it out of there? I knocked it back. I was pissed at myself because I just dropped $2.50 for a cup of coffee in the lobby. Now I got a hot pot right here.
Lou, you in with that?
Certainly. I'm definitely down with it, but I know you're not.
I called the front desk. The hotel made it. What do you think? They go, oh, we let Jen and Dana come in the kitchen and whip up an omelet for you, and then we gave him a master key to your room to drop it off.
You sure Jen and Dana or Dina, whatever this girl's name is, weren't in the hotel and outside the room waiting for the thing? Sprinkle a little ash in there. You know what I'm talking about,
dude? You bring up a good point. I've been sick ever since, coughing like crazy. I've been blaming it on the basement. Oh man, these two broads poisoned me, man. If they really did, you would come to me on my deathbed and you'd go, I'm going to miss you. You might even shed a tear, but a part of you wouldn't help saying, God, I told you not to do that shit.
Well, that's why I think now, you know, you should think of getting an alias.
That's not a bad idea. I don't. But is it a, like at the lobby, is it like confusing to them? Like the people at the front desk, is it take extra time to check in and go, call me Roy Smith
All right? Put me in as Roy Smith. No, it's not extra time to do that?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Do you have a name that you would use? Like
Brad Pitt.
Ah, I was thinking about Roy Smith, actually, after just saying it. I kind of like the sound of that one. I wouldn't mind being a Roy. Roy seems like just anonymous, right? Roy. Do you know a Roy?
Yeah, I do. I do.
No kidding. Lou, do you know a Roy?
Never met a Roy.
Never met a Roy either. Hmm. Do you go by the same anonymous name every time?
Just switched it.
What did people figure it out, or you just switched it because you wanted to felt like mix it up?
Mix it up, throw people off.
Was anyone on to you, though? I'm saying, was there, like, did it, has anyone?
No, but they don't have to be on to me. It's too late if they're on to you. This way you step ahead of the game. Just like I just switched my phone number recently.
Yeah, I know. Psyched to make the cut.
Me too, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
So, will you ever go back to the old one, or can we hear what the old one was?
The old one is part of the new one.
Ah, shit.
So, I'll have to, until I burn this one, I'll let you know what the first one was.
All right, guys, the For Pete's Sake tour continues. I just want to thank everybody who came out for the Providence Comedy Connection. What a group. What a great time. I had a blast. You know, I don't take enough time to thank you guys for some of the things you do. I mean, Tony, affiliated with the New York Yankees, sent me, Lou, a signed Derek Jeter baseball. There was a guy when I was playing in Toronto at the Castle, some guy named Alex just came up and handed me a gift and split in seconds. He knows who he is, and I didn't even get a chance to thank him for that. I mean, the guys at Brewer's Coffee put me on their monthly list. I get this fantastic coffee. So none of this stuff is expected or necessary, guys. But when you do it, I feel the need to tell you, I mean, thank you, man. We got the best listeners in the world. And thanks for coming out, Providence, as I said. And moving on, I will be October 19th at the Trough Music Hall in Buffalo, and then off to Pittsburgh. Go to PeteCorielli.com for all the dates, man. Speaking of school, our next promo here is for a fantastic product called Skillshare. I went online and checked this out. Basically, let me just tell you straight out of the gate, this is just Pete talking. Skillshare, you go online and you join Skillshare, that's Skillshare, and they have over 30,000 classes being taught to you by professionals. I don't know, man. I'm the kind of guy, I'm always trying to better myself. And with this Skillshare, I get to be in the driver's seat. I pick the classes, and I go at my own pace. I did this creative writing class at Skillshare. Oh, man, the guy comes on, tells you not only is he going to be your teacher, he's going to be your mentor. And if you don't like it, you just pick another class. All the classes are project-based, so you actually come out having actually made something. Not only do you learn something, you make something. You want to learn how to write a book? When you're done with that, you'll know you'll have a book. Boom! Listeners to the cast can join the millions of students already on Skillshare today. With this special offer, you can get 2 months for free at Skillshare.com/DJ Lou. Get unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. For those of you in the back, you heard me. That's 2 months entirely for free at Skillshare.com/DJ Lou, and start sharing your skills with the world, baby.
If you're feeling sad and lonely, there's a service I can render. Tell the one who loves you only, I can be so warm and tender. Call me. Don't be afraid, you can call me.
What do you think of this? Talk about new phone numbers. Not a lot of people have my new phone number, right? Mm-hmm. I got a FaceTime call today from a number that's not in my contact. Now, would you pick up a FaceTime call that you didn't know?
I wouldn't pick up a FaceTime call even if I did know it, man.
Like, if I called you on FaceTime, you wouldn't pick it up?
No, I would text you and tell you you accidentally called me on FaceTime. What's up? You know I would, too. Oh, you God. Wouldn't call me on FaceTime.
What I wanted to do was videotape me FaceTiming people I'd never FaceTimed before, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And having a conversation with them as if it was like I was just calling them. So it'd be like, let's say there's a camera on me and my phone, but the person on the other side doesn't see it, right? And let's say on Friday at 6 o'clock, I FaceTime Lou, right? And he picked up. He's like, "What's up? Hey, what's going on, man? How you been?" "Eh, nothing." And just have a conversation with somebody on FaceTime to see how far it would go.
I'm with you, but you can see them, but they can't see you?
No, they can see me. It's a FaceTime call that, to people I've never FaceTimed before.
But once they look at you, and unless they know you from your stand-up and stuff, if they don't know
you. No, my friends. Like, there's... The only people I FaceTime with is my wife, my father, my mother, and my sister.
Right.
Now, if I called, say, my dentist.
Right.
Not that I have his number, but let's say if I did, then say, "Hey, what's up, man? What's going on?" "Eh, nothing. Eh, I was thinking of coming in for an appointment."
Yeah.
Would they? I would like to see how they would behave on FaceTime.
That could be interesting to see if they're thrown off by it. Like if your motto is like, "I'm trying to make FaceTime the new normal phone call. Let's start looking at each other again."
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like, let's take our conversations that we used to do just audio and see if we could transition those into video. But I don't want to tell you I'm doing that. I just want to start doing it. That's my whole experiment.
Right. I think you're going to find in your world, most people are just going to go with it, talk to you.
If someone FaceTimed me and I picked it up that normally doesn't FaceTime me, I would feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I feel like they're in my living room. I feel like they've somehow, they violated, they're like, shouldn't be here.
Yeah, I feel like this is, we didn't talk about this yet, right? Like for example, I want to do it to Watt.
Yeah.
To just call him and go, "Yeah, he'll pick up," but like, I want to see the response to it. By the way.
Yeah.
Did you get an invite?
I did not.
Me neither. Lou?
Nope.
I don't know if they went out yet. I mean, a lot going on in the Watt world right now.
Hey, listen. Save the date?
You got a point, man. You got a point. I'm not getting invited anyway. But you, I think, might get invited. You guys got a longer history and a thing. So
I don't think so.
No, I think it's coming. Did you see his new commercial?
No.
About having to have a rival.
Oh no, Lou! Do you got any audio on the Watt commercial?
He does a lot of talking over it, but while he's talking, they're showing you like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and this one against that one from the past in every different sport.
If I could give an athlete one piece of advice, it'd be to find a rival. Someone committed to taking you down.
And then we had to feel like
they should scare you.
All day long. All night long.
Into starting early and staying late. They might be far away or across town. They might be family, but they should make you obsessed. Like this time, it's personal obsessed. And they'll bring you pain and frustration. You will hate them, but then you'll respect them and love them. Because that rival that wants to take you down is going to make you raise your game even higher.
Wow. I mean, talk about inspiring, man.
Okay. Who's his rival?
His personal? Well, I mean, isn't it just all the teams he plays, I guess?
Mm-hmm. No, I thought it was like a rival, like a quarterback or someone, no?
Like, that's my perfect example. You hear that commercial. You're sitting on your couch. You pull out your phone, and you just FaceTime Watt and go, dude, just saw that awesome commercial. Who's your rival, by the way, man, out of curiosity? Like, you know, you think he's going to be like, hey, did you get an invite to the wedding? And you're going to go, no. And then he's going to go to him, why are you FaceTiming me on my couch right now, dude?
Now, if you really want to do it, how I would do it would say, I would go, he'd just pick up. I go, you got a rival? And just to see what he would say. Should I do it right now?
Yeah. Guys. Do we pump the brakes? They lost a rough one last night. I mean, just a heartbreaker.
I know. I sent out a text, too, and I didn't get a response. I don't know if he's in the gym lifting heavy weight. I don't know what he's doing.
Wow. You hit with a response after the game.
I was chatting him up before the game.
I texted the day before the game.
The day before. Yeah.
And they lost. And last time I stopped talking to him, they won 7 in a row. I'm not talking to this guy until February. I'm just not, man.
You bet kryptonite? What? Give me the tickets.
But, Sonny, we're winning.
You can't win. You must bet kryptonite. Fucking jinx.
Come on, you're the boss.
And 5 links in the lead.
Come on. We've been mushed.
Now, but after the game, I got to let it sit for a couple days, right? Don't you just like... Like when you did the MTV Awards, when people texted you right after, were you reading texts left and right after? Or you're like, I'll start reading them tomorrow. I just want to defuse right now.
I had changed my number so nobody had my phone number.
I was wondering why I tend to get responses a little quicker lately. I'm like, ooh, yeah, the nest got smaller. Lou, if you want to chat him up, now's the time.
Oh, shit.
Especially before he gets on his next movie set and all the other actors start giving his number left and right. By the way, when are we going full German? German-Italian.
We've been moved till October, so that shoot date has been moved into October. So I haven't been practicing just because I'm waiting on more instruction, but I don't even know if I should tell you guys this, but I might as well tell you and just figure out if I want to dump it after the story. But
all right.
I've learned that Alex Rodriguez is a fan of mine. Hey?
Yeah.
Hey, Rod.
Oh, yeah.
So he posted something on his Instagram, I'd say about 2 months ago. Him and Jennifer Lopez were watching my special, right? And they filmed it, and, you know, filmed me, and then they were laughing and whatnot. And then I found out through a mutual friend who knows him that he's like, oh, yeah, he likes your comedy, da-da-da-da-da. So we ended up chatting a little bit on Instagram, just over text on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And this is what brought this all up. Let me get it.
This is cool. So cool, man. So cool.
Hold on. I got to get this up here. Hold on.
Now, I accidentally gave Lou some wrong information about Kelly Preston and Travolta not being together anymore. Luckily, they are. My bad. Lou, is J-Lo and A-Rod married yet?
No, they're not. Oh, I don't believe
that. Dude, you might not even be able to make Watt's wedding because you're going to be at A-Rod's wedding.
So we were supposed to do lunch.
Oh, shit.
Him, and this other guy I'll leave his name out of it. The three of us were supposed to go to lunch, right? So we were just, you know, I'm not going to be here 2 months and doing this and doing that. Da, 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 da. So this past week, I get an Instagram from him saying, what's up, brother? Cheers from, he was in Saint-Tropez, right?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
This makes the Gump seem boring, man.
Wow. So all right.
Jen and I have an idea for you. Can you FaceTime with us?
Wow.
Now, I've never talked to the guy.
Right, right.
And he wants to FaceTime. So I show it to Lana. And she goes, oh, my God, are you going to do it? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. Why not? So the message came in. And I didn't see the message until 10 minutes after it came in.
Right.
So I FaceTimed them 10 minutes, and I'm sitting there, and they didn't answer. So I type back, I go, I just tried you from, and I gave my number. And that's it. I haven't heard back, bro. It's been 8 days.
What the fuck
was that?
That speaks volumes about how busy those two are. They had a 3-minute window for you. And second of all, when someone says, can you FaceTime? Even if I get that text in the moment, I would text back, yes, I can. Now, later, should I call it like that? Let alone 10 minutes later, why didn't you slide in with a text going, hey, sorry, I just got this. I'm still around. You want to FaceTime? Because
I took it as, can you FaceTime with us? Like, oh, they have an idea. Get them on FaceTime.
Right. So then I'd say, yeah, I can. So, and you got my number because you asked me, so FaceTime me up. I'm not. Dude, you threw a FaceTime.
He left his number, though, bro.
I'm so confused, though. Why wouldn't... All right, I need a third party. Lou, if someone said to you, can you FaceTime? Are you around to FaceTime? Like, literally, they said it just like that. Right? Is that how he said it? Like, in the moment.
No. Jen and I have an idea for you. Can you FaceTime with us? And then he leaves his number.
Lou, would you FaceTime back? So would you text saying, yeah, now, when,
yeah,
later?
I would text first, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When you FaceTime someone and you don't get a response, that's like standing on someone's front doorstep and no one answers.
And they're home.
Yep. That's what you got. Then you got to walk away. Even they looked at it and they went, whoa, guy, you text. Jesus. This is like, you actually started this whole conversation off by saying if somebody FaceTimes you. Oh, they did give you the number, though. I'll give you that. They did give you the number.
Yeah. So it'd just be like, why? If they didn't give me the number, they would, just left it there. And then I would say, yeah, and then here's our number, call us. But they left it with the message.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in their world, you get like... 2-3 minute window to respond.
to another comedian.
And just but they live in the world in a, you know, two unbelievable talents, man. Nothing but great stuff to say about them. But they probably live in that rarefied air where, like, you watch a movie and you don't even know the actor and you want to reach out and go, because you go, I bet they filmed here. He probably loved it there. Let's tell him we're fans and see if he loved it there. And then they just call Liam Neeson, and Liam Neeson gets on from wherever he is. And he's like, yeah, we did film it, you know? So, yeah. And if Liam Neeson calls 10 minutes later, they're like, we don't even care anymore. We Googled it. I think that's what's going
to happen, man. Oh, my God, bro. Yeah.
I know. You'll get another invite, though, man.
We'll see. I'll keep you posted on that. See what's going to happen there.
That's hilarious.
So, I got a bolt.
Yeah, no sweat, man. Great hanging. I got a bolt. Really fun.
Let me give you a couple dates here. This weekend, people, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Thackerville, Oklahoma, Wichita. Next weekend, Charlotte, Dayton, Ohio, Rochester, Boston, Atlantic City. It's all through October. SebastianLive.com. Check it out. The new You Bother Me tour starts in Tulsa, Oklahoma, this weekend, September 12th. SebastianLive.com. Thanks for all your listenership. Keep listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show.
The show has ended.
I'm thinking so much, you didn't even have time to comb his fucking hair.